We're told Toni Cade Bambara often identified herself as a cultural worker, which for her meant using the arts, literary works, film, theater, music, dance, and the visual arts as instruments of self-renewal and transformation. In 1985, Bambara moved to Philadelphia and dedicated the last 10 years of her life to another lifetime passion, work in film. At the Scribe Video Center, Bambara taught script writing classes, and she encouraged young filmmakers to pursue their dreams and to challenge the status quo through their cinematic works. Bambara also broke new ground in the narration she provided for the bombing of Osage Avenue, an award-winning documentary produced by Scribe, where she offered a community-informed style of narration that differed from the standard objective voice historically projected by narrators in documentary films. All That We Learn from A Joyous Revolt by Linda Janet Holmes. That's the kind of place the Scribe Video Center has been: creative, challenging, supporting, mentoring, and community building. The Scribe Video Center came into being in December of 1982. It was founded by Louis Messiah as a place where individuals and communities learn media making and explore the use of video as both an artistic medium and as a tool for progressive social change. Since the Scribe's founding, thousands of people and over 250 community groups have documented their hopes, dreams, passions, and concerns in some 350 videos produced with the support of the Scribe Video Center. Many of these works represent visions, perspectives, and understandings that have not been voiced or seen in any other media, and all of them represent sparks of creativity and daring for the filmmakers. Scribe has become a nationally recognized media arts education center for independent producers in Philadelphia and for emerging video artists and media activists, including community groups and individuals. People there work together in an atmosphere that facilitates new approaches to visual form and language, encourages the development of the aesthetics of video making, and provides a process for individuals and groups to document concerns about and visions for themselves and their communities. Louis Messiah, a MacArthur Grant recipient, says, "As a filmmaker, I am very interested in men and women who have made a conscious decision to dedicate their lives to work toward a higher, more civilized humanity. In many ways, our society rewards us for accepting the status quo, so it takes great courage and oftentimes great personal costs to dare to challenge the society to change, to progress to something better, to be more humane, to work for a society free from oppression." Those words and that profile of Scribe from the Scribe Video Center website. Tomorrow evening, here in Scranton, Louis Messiah and the Scribe Video Center will receive the Arts Leadership and Service Award as part of the 2018 Governor's Awards for the Arts in Pennsylvania. We had a chance to speak by phone with Louis Messiah about the Scribe Center and about the ways he has been affected by the power of film as a medium.
There have been lots of times when I've seen, felt, heard the power of film, and it's been at various stages of sort of the film creation process. I've felt it in an audience when seeing a film and really sort of kind of sensing a collective understanding or realization that happens when something is, you know, well presented and a story is clearly drawn. So basically, when the message of the film, you know, really reaches an audience, and there's this sort of collective understanding, and so, you know, you can feel it. And, you know, everybody is reacting to something that they see in a film. I've felt it in the production of work when working collectively in a community media piece, and as a group, the community has to come to some decision as to what the film will be about, who will be interviewed in the film, what is the story, and the conversation which is almost like a dialectic. You know, you go one way and then you go the other way to kind of get a synthesis of ideas and finally say, okay, this is what we're going to do. So in the production, there's this sense of knowledge and power that comes when you can decide what is the story that we as a community want to tell. So it gets crystallized or it gets recorded by what you put in the film and what you edit, but also that very process is kind of it's a process of analysis that happens when you're working in collectively on making a film. And sometimes just, you know, I've enjoyed really reading about film too. I mean, I've enjoyed, you know, there's some extraordinary writing about film and the role of film in our society and the role of film in sort of shaping opinion. I mean, some of the essays of James Baldwin had really profound impact on me in terms of my rethinking about how film becomes a kind of reality, or not even a kind of reality. Film becomes reality. Film becomes a definition, a shared definition, when in fact this notion of reality is very much a construction that we're working from. So I guess a lot of places and a lot of instances where film has had a really big impact on me.
All those layers, the personal viewing and the audience, and then, as you suggest, working collectively on a film, but also the kind of aesthetic sense of what is film and how do we see the world.
Right. I mean, so much of what we take as reality is something, it's this constructed set of images and sounds that, you know, we get on over the internet, we get on our television sets, we get on our phones, we get it in the movie theaters that become our understanding of what this supposed real world is, as opposed to things that we actually see and hear and with our own eyes and our own senses directly.
The Scribe Center, then, is rooted in all of those aspects of film, the collective, the group process, the community building, and that sense of asking those fundamental questions. So all of that goes on at the center.
Yeah, absolutely. And also understanding that, particularly with community media, when a community is able to present its vision, to define its issues, really in creating the work of art that is a film, that is a documentary film, and they're then able to share it within the community and also with the much broader community, it's a chance for communities to sort of put forward their issues in their own terms. And then those of us not in that community have a chance to kind of understand the place where we live, how our neighbors see what you know their issues are. So it really becomes part of the functioning of a democracy. But that's one of the real values of community media. It becomes a way of having some this shared understanding of what are the issues, what is it, what are our realities, and it creates an empathy, which I think is fundamental for a society.
And the importance of having a center where people see each other and work together with each other. It's one thing to have a phone that everybody has now and does some video on a phone and can sit in the privacy of his or her own space and create images. But the fact that you have a center, which is a community space in and of itself, and you ask those questions of each other, it's different than just posting stuff.
Oh, yeah. And also, filmmaking, you know, the documentary is a language, and like a language, one has to learn that language. There's a syntax to that language. There's a way of presenting an argument. You know, storytelling is something that we learn from each other, and so that's very different than having access to the technology is important. And fortunately, in this age, more of us can have access to the technology, but we also benefit from learning the language of film construction, and that's one of the really important things that happens at a media arts center at a place like Scribe.
I was excited to see on your website that you also are doing audio work, radio. You actually have a radio station.
Yeah, we have a community radio station, WPEB, it's all volunteer. And it's sort of hyper-local, serving people who live and work in West Philadelphia. So that's the area between the Schuylkill and Cobbs Creek. and between Southwest Philadelphia and sort of an area of Philadelphia called Overbrook. And, you know, individuals oftentimes, I mean, in the ideal, they're individuals that are connected to some sort of community group, neighborhood group, have radio programs. Some are talk-based, some are music-based, some are, you know, interview programs, news and public affairs-type programs. But it allows people to talk to each other and sort of, you know, present perspectives and also share culture.
Have there been times when there are national incidents where people in Philadelphia have said, oh, I have to react to this, and they come to the center for the first time and say, show me what to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think a number of our initiatives at Scribe are very much based on real-world circumstance. A number of years, maybe about 5 years ago, we began a project, a community history project. We'd been working on other community history projects that came out of other kind of whatever needs or circumstances going on in Philadelphia. So we began a project called, first, the Precious Places Community History Project, which largely came about because of the extraordinary amount of development and renovation and oftentimes destruction of neighborhoods that was connected with development, sort of beginning at the end of the 20th century and going into the early 2000s. And it was a way for long-time residents of long-time neighborhoods to sort of define those neighborhoods so that they're not being defined by blight. They're being defined by the history of people who live there, and that a building that may not look much to someone else, to people who've lived in that neighborhood for many, many generations, there are important historical memories connected with that that are part of that person and really that community's self-identity. So out of that notion of doing community histories, when the sort of the wave of Islamophobia began, we began this project called Muslim Voices of Philadelphia, really looking at the long, long history of Islam in Philadelphia, really in the United States, and so that folks understand that, you know, Islam is a religion that in this country is as old as many, many other religions, in fact older than some religions that are quite prominent. So in communities, you know, Muslim communities in Philadelphia have histories that go back, you know, centuries in this place. Although, you know, the pieces were not defined by the reaction, they were really defined by really putting forward a vision and a history that is defined by the community. So, yeah, there often is a catalyst that may happen in the larger society that will kind of lead people to create work to address that.
And so oral history collecting would be an important part of much of a center like yours.
Right, and you know, the name oral history is something we wrestle with, because we sometimes say, well, it's oral, and it's also a visual history as well, and it may also be an acoustic history. You know, what are the sounds that come from neighborhoods that somehow sort of tell the story of that neighborhood? You know, Scribe has had a long history of working with very, very important oral historians who've worked at Scribe as instructors, Verdame Grosvenor, oral historian, actually grew up in Philadelphia, but is from a Gulla family in South Carolina. She many years had a program on NPR and did this wonderful book called Vibration Cooking, really looking at the history of cuisine from South Carolina, you know, total oral history workshop. Charlie Hardy, who heads the history program at Westchester University, has had a long affiliation with Scribe. And then, you know, folks from Columbia University's oral history program have taught workshops here. And we've incorporated sort of oral history techniques and oral history methodologies into our programs, like the Precious Places Community History Project. And we, you know, we recently did a Great Migration Community History Project, really looking at five organizations that had their roots in the first Great Migration, that is between the First World War and the Depression, and, you know, five organizations that still are around that began during that time and had a really important role in the Great Migration of African Americans coming to Philadelphia from the South.
And it sounds to me like in the work that you're doing on all the levels you've just laid out for us, that other cities and other communities around the country would want to look at scribe and how you're working, because it sounds like you've got a wonderful kind of rhythm here in the community. Do people come and say, let's take a look and can we use you as a model?
And we learn from other, you know, brethren and sistren organizations. At the end of June, actually on June 29th and 30th this year, there were 16 organizations from around the country that we all came together to share. Apple Shop, which is in Whitesburg, Kentucky, a very important cultural organization in Appalachia. NOVAC, a New Orleans Video Access Center in New Orleans. Visual Communications, which has its roots, it goes back to 1969. It's in Los Angeles and Little Tokyo. Chicago Filmmakers, which also began in 1969, headed by Margaret Caples. The Esperanza Center, which is this extraordinary Esperanza Center for Peace and Justice in San Antonio, Texas, that uses, it's a center that uses culture as a way to really look at and support, you know, the community in San Antonio. So it was a sharing in figuring out ways that we can kind of support each other and also share each other's work as we go forward. So we learn from each other.
And of course, the name Scribe, tell us a little bit about the reverberations of the word scribe for all of you.
Yeah, I think the name Scribe came from the idea that video or, you know, digital media is the current way that we inscribe, encode, record significant ideas and events. And the Video Center is providing skills, providing the camaraderie, providing the technology to allow people to be present-day scribes, to sort of document what's going on, to offer their vision about what's happening in the world today, and also to really maybe create a path to what might happen in the future and how we might learn from history in terms of going forward.
Do you have time to do your own work? Do you have time to make your own films now, or audio pieces, or things that you're interested in personally?
Yes, but mainly no. But I am working on a film now, which means a lot to me. It's a biography of a filmmaker, writer, who had an enormous impact on many artists in the U.S., a woman named Toni Cade Bambara. And it's, in some ways, it's really a primer. Looking at her life really kind of serves as a primer of how one uses culture as a way to organize communities. So I've been working on that sort of kind of midway in that production.
Isn't this one of the happy outcomes of an honor like this? More and more of us get to learn about what you all are doing, and we can actually go on your website and see the results.
And yes, it's scribe.org, and we welcome people to come visit. You know, we very much like exchange and like to know what other folks are doing in other parts of the state and other parts of the country and other parts of the world, because, I mean, we learn from so many. I mean, I know my experience of going to film screenings in Africa made me think, like, you know, why don't we show films outside, which is the way a lot of film is shown in Africa. So about 20, 21 years ago, we began this program called Street Movies, where we show movies in neighborhoods all around Philadelphia during the summer. And it's a wonderful way of bringing communities together to talk about issues. The films are hosted, and it serves as an occasion to use the film to talk about community issues and concerns. And also, you know, also brings, you know, families together in a really interesting and fun activity.
So that's international cross-pollination in that
way. Right, learning from wherever.
Do you know Scranton? Have you been to Scranton at all?
Yeah, I spent a little bit of time in Scranton. I mean, a lot of it has been going through Scranton to get to upstate New York. But yeah, I know Scranton, and I love your train station, and I wish that the trains would start again. I think, you know, Pennsylvania needs I know I'm probably not in the majority, but I'm all for having more trains help us connect better in the state. I think that cars are wonderful, but trains are better.
Louis Messiah, founder and executive director of the Scribe Video Center, who will be here tomorrow evening in Scranton. The Scribe Video Center is a national leader in creating community-based film, video, audio, and new media programs. It's based in West Philadelphia, and the Scribe Center will receive the Arts Leadership and Service Award tomorrow evening at the 2018 Governor's Awards for the Arts in Pennsylvania. The ceremony will take place at the Scranton Cultural Center at 7 p.m. It is open to the public free of charge. Also to be honored, the playwright Chiara Alegria Yudes, who has won the Pulitzer Prize for drama. She wrote the book for In the Heights, the Tony Award-winning Broadway hit. Mira Nakashima, who is an acclaimed designer of furniture known for her unparalleled knowledge of mastery in wood. Her book, Nature, Form, and Spirit, The Life and Legacy of George Nakashima, was published in 2003, and she will receive the Lifetime Achievement in the Arts Award. Tina Williams Brewer will receive the Artist of the Year Award. She is an internationally known fiber artist from Pittsburgh, and she is known for her artistic exploration of African-American history and culture in her story quilts, using layered textiles, images, and embellishments rich with symbolism. The Scribe Center, as we said, will receive the Arts Leadership and Service Award, and the C.F. Martin & Company Incorporated will receive special recognition for advancing the arts. Headquartered in Nazareth, Pennsylvania since 1838, C.F. Martin & Company Incorporated is one of the world's leading acoustic instrument makers. That's the 2018 Governor's Awards for the Arts in Pennsylvania that will be held tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at the Scranton Cultural Center. The event is open to the public free of charge. You're invited and encouraged to attend. They just ask that if you can, please reserve a ticket, and that's online. For more information, arts.pa.gov. Admission is free, but they would just like it if you get a ticket at the box office or reserve one online. There will be a free dessert reception to follow and live entertainment. We understand it will be the Scranton Jazz Festival Big Band under the direction of Marco Marcinko. And that's tomorrow evening, the 2018 Pennsylvania Governor's Awards for the Arts at the Scranton Cultural Center at 7. Again, admission is free. You're encouraged to attend. And there will be a special reception to follow, which you're invited to attend, again, at no charge. For more information, on the web, arts.pa.gov, arts.pa.gov.